Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Innovators Technology Topics Podcast, where we discuss nonprofit technology, cybersecurity, tech project implementation, strategic planning, and nonprofit IT careers. Find us at communityit.com.
Welcome to the Community IT Innovators Podcast. My name is Carolyn Woodard, and I'm the Outreach Director for Community IT. And I'm happy to welcome Johan Hammerström, our CEO, to our podcast. Johan, I have been getting a lot of spam. It feels like I'm getting more spam recently, and it's clearly spam, but I'm wondering, like, why is it getting through our spam filter, and are there extra steps that I could take to protect my email?
Great question. I've been getting a lot more spam as well. And I think people are rightly concerned about the amount of unwanted email that they're getting, and they want to know what they can do about it. But I think it's important to understand the different types of unwanted email that we all receive, because each type of unwanted email kind of has its own approach to preventing it. And so there's no sort of one-size-fits-all solution to unwanted email, because there are different types of unwanted email, and it's helpful to understand those different types, both to protect ourselves from the malicious email and to protect ourselves from the annoying email. I like to think of email, unwanted email, in kind of a matrix. Like, there's sort of two axes, and one is, you know, is the email targeted or is it generic? Like, is it being sent out, you know, sort of bulk to a large group of people? And is it just annoying email or is it malicious in nature? So I think when we talk about spam, like, the word spam is a term that sort of come to encompass all forms of unwanted email. But technically, spam really just refers to bulk email that is sent to a large group of people that is, you know, kind of commercial in nature. So it's a lot of us get spam more so in our personal email accounts than we do in our work email accounts. But it's the, free electronic gadget type emails, you know, like, these are schemes. Oftentimes they're scams on occasion, but they're promoting a product or service that you're not interested in, but they're sending it out to a really wide audience, you know, a much wider audience.
Could that also be something that, like, maybe you did buy something from that store one time and you had to give them your email, and then it just forever?
Oh, that's a good question.
So emails.
So those are technically, those are not considered unwanted emails because you have signed up for the service. And at some point along the way, you agreed to terms of service that included receiving future emails from that organization. So for those emails, all you need to do is click on the link at the bottom of an email, and there's an unsubscribe button that will allow you to opt out. And any reputable email sender has that. And once you opt out of the email, you won't get any emails from them anymore. But oftentimes, all of our emails are just out there, and there are unscrupulous senders who buy our email addresses and send us email. I've been getting one on one of my personal email accounts, and it's like, I don't know, deep thoughts for the day or something. Like, it's just stupid. I don't know where they got my email address from. It's like a legitimate, I mean, you know, it's whatever. I can unsubscribe from it, and I did, but it's just kind of bizarre. Like, where did this come from? So those technically aren't spam because they are wanted, legally, you've signed up for them, for those emails, and you have the option to unsubscribe from them. And it is annoying, but, you know, you can say, I don't want these emails, and then you won't get them anymore.
But how do you tell? Because sometimes you get a spam email and it might look legitimate and it might say, oh, just click here to unsubscribe. And then you shouldn't click there because it doesn't unsubscribe you. It takes you to some site that's got like, you know, blinking lights and whatever. It's not an unsubscribe button. Is there a way to tell?
I mean, I think you got to use your best judgment. If you know you signed up for something, you bought somebody something from Target, and now you're getting a bunch of emails from Target about all their deals and stuff, that's a good one to, you can unsubscribe. Other ones, you know, yeah, that's a good point. Like, unsubscribe with caution, because sometimes the unsubscribe button doesn't work. And in those cases, you want to use the spam flag button in your email. So Google, Yahoo, and personal email and business email solutions like Outlook all have the ability to block senders. And in cases where you don't know why you got on the list and it looks a little sketchy, you're better off reporting it as spam.
Well, I do also, you know, what Matt says to hover over or look at the address that it's coming from. Like if it says that it's from Target, but it's from, you know, Joe at discountrecords.it or whatever, you know, then you're like, oh yeah, that's not actually from Target.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can use some of the, and we'll talk about that in a minute, like the anti-phishing skills, you know, that are important to develop. Those skills can be used to against spam as well. I think the key difference between spam and phishing is that spam is generally not malicious in the same way that phishing is. It's annoying, but it doesn't really pose a major danger to you or to your organization.
That makes sense. So when you say to report it, do you mean just like move it, like there's a button that you can say this is junk, or exactly. Is there something else you should do?
No. It's the junk button. So, well, okay. So this kind of gets into the difference between bulk spam and, let's say, targeted spam. It's technically not spam, but bulk spam is pretty easy to block because this is email that's getting sent out to millions and millions of addresses, and the language in the email tends to be very generic. And and anti-spam solutions, which are essentially like using a dictionary of known offending senders, known offending sender servers, known offending language, are very effective at blocking these because they're just obviously spam based on who's sending them and the text in the email. So it is important to flag spam, but generally speaking, your spam filter, whatever solution you're using as a spam filter, should be pretty good at blocking these. So the chances of you actually seeing spam, like real spam, is pretty low because it gets out and then people report it and then it gets blocked. The much more annoying, quote unquote, spam is something that I think you and I have seen a lot more of, particularly this year. And those are unwanted targeted emails. So those are like cold call emails. And I went back just the other day, I went and looked in my junk email folder, and I get 15 to 20 a day, just every day. And those technically aren't spam because they're directed at me as the CEO of a managed services provider. So they are selling services that a managed services provider would be interested in purchasing. They're offering finance, small business financing, that the CEO of a small business might be interested in obtaining. They're completely unwanted. They're extremely annoying. I don't want to receive these emails, but they are legitimate. And they all include, you know, text saying, if you want me to email you anymore, just reply and let me know. I never do. I just don't have time for that. And what I've found as an effective way of stopping those is we use Outlook. And so I just go into Outlook and say block sender. And so it automatically adds the sender to a block list that Outlook maintains on my individual account. But then it also provides information back to Microsoft, indicating that this sort of cold call email is unwanted and shouldn't be delivered to my main inbox. So of the 15 to 20 emails that I'm getting a day, I would say two or three get to my inbox and the rest just automatically go into a junk email folder. Those emails are harder to block because they're coming from a legitimate sender and they're coming from someone who purchased my email address from, you know, your email address, all of our email addresses. Like, so there's lists of me. I've been to conferences. I've been to MSP conferences. I've attended MSP targeted webinars. And in the process of doing those things, of just being in this business, my email has gotten on lists that end up getting sold to other people and sold to other people. And that's where these emails come from. So it's legitimate in a sense, as annoying as it is. And so it's not dangerous. These emails are not dangerous, generally speaking. And they're not technically spam because they're targeted. They're sales. It's basically very aggressive, very annoying sales. And I don't know why it's gotten worse this year. Maybe AI has, you know, made it easier for people. The AIs are writing these emails. The AIs are figuring out how to get around the email filters. I don't know.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I get marketing, they're like, oh, you know, like, do you need a video service? Do you need, you know, more marketing? Do you need this, you know, do you want to buy this list to be able to sell to this email list or what have you? So I feel like over the past, 6 months or so, it's gotten a lot worse. And I wondered if maybe there are new services like AI services or the memo went out to all the marketers out there. Like, this is an easy way to cold call, you know, thousands of people at once. And the memo didn't mention how annoying it is and how, I mean, I guess though, for marketing, like if one person clicks and says, yeah, I would like that service, make me a video, then it's worth it to the sales person on the other end. But I do feel sorry for them. But I also feel annoyed by them.
I do. I sympathize with what they're trying to do because, you know, we are also a business, but we don't do that. And a lot of businesses don't, and they still are very successful as businesses. So it's not necessary. They wouldn't do it if it didn't work. So, you know, somebody's responding to those emails. I do not. And I've found that the junk email filter works pretty well. And, you know, Microsoft is also a big player in the AI space. So maybe the cat and mouse game of using AI to block these emails is going to start ratcheting up.
But tell me about malicious emails. So what should you do when you see something that clearly is, you know, it used to be like, oh, can you buy, you know, your CEO wants you to buy some gift cards because they don't have time or what have you. And I know there are new asks coming out all the time. But what do you do when you see something like that? That's like really all of your alarms go off. You're like, I should not click on this link.
So there's there's two kinds of annoying email, the targeted email and the mass produced general email. There are also two kinds of malicious email. There's targeted malicious emails and there's mass-produced malicious emails. And there's really two kinds of malicious email. There's emails that are trying to get your credentials, and those are known as phishing attacks. And there's emails that are trying to defraud you, basically. Those are known as fraud attacks. So the general emails, the phishing attacks, are pretty obvious to spot once you've been trained on how to recognize them. And they say things like, your HR department just released a new 401k plan. Click on the link here to sign in. Or your shipment is waiting to be delivered and it can't be delivered until you sign in and authorize the delivery. Or because your mailbox is full and you need to log in and authorize an increase in the size of the mailbox, and on and on and on. Like, there's lots of, they're very generic messages. They pretend to be from a legitimate source. And what they do is they cause you to click on the link. And by clicking on the link, it takes you to a fake site that the malicious actor is hosting. And then they phish you into entering your credentials on that fake site. So you put your username and your password in, you thinking that it's your legitimate email site, and now they have your credentials and your credentials have been compromised. So that's phishing, like sort of generic phishing attack. And those are dangerous, and they need to be, your organization needs to be on guard against them. But through proper training, staff can really come to identify those. And we've seen over and over again that with a good training regimen, organizations go from being 40% click prone, that is 40% of their staff are prone to click on a phishing attack, down to like 5% click prone. That's a huge increase in the security of an organization, to go from being 40% to 5% click prone. And that happens relatively quickly through a solution like KnowBefore, a security awareness training solution that combines both short and fun security training videos and quizzes and exercises with simulated phishing campaigns to sort of test the organization's likelihood or proneness to falling for a generic phishing campaign.
And so, when you do, if you did click on that and enter your information, like the solution is to change your password right away, right? Like once you've done that, then you've cut them off from being able, unless you've used that password somewhere else, because then they're going to take your login and password and try that password in different sites where you might have, you know, some access. That's why not to reuse passwords, but also if you change it right away, that gives you some protection. Is that right?
There is, that's exactly right. Like, don't ever reuse passwords. And that's why, because if one of your passwords accidentally gets out, then it's only that system that's compromised. If you think you've been phished, you do want to let your IT know as soon as possible. And there's really no shame in getting phished. It happens. Obviously, it happens a lot. Like, that's why these attacks continue to be perpetrated. But the sooner you report it and the sooner the mitigation steps can start happening, the more the damage can be contained. So if you think you've been phished, let your IT department know right away. One of the big questions people have is, should I report all of the phishing emails that I get? Should I report all the spam that I get to the IT department? And the reality is, I mean, and I'm not going to provide a general answer because it's going to vary from IT department to IT department. So check with your IT department and see what they want you to do. But I'm guessing that most IT departments probably don't want you reporting all of the spam that you get. We know there's a lot of spam out there. They may not want you reporting the general phishing attacks either, because there are a lot of those. And it's really just more important to recognize them and delete those emails. A good spam filter will prevent a lot of generic phishing attacks. The bigger danger is with the targeted attacks. So spear phishing is a targeted version of phishing, and that's usually done by a malicious actor that is targeting your organization. They know something about your organization. They know something about the staff at the organization, the work that it does. They probably know many of the systems that you use, you know, Microsoft, Salesforce, Zoom. And so they are crafting an email that is much more specific to your organization. We got spear phished. We have been spear phished. A lot of MSPs get spear phished. And I remember, and those are more important to report to your IT department, because they could be an early indicator of a concerted attack by a malicious actor against the organization. So I remember I got a really well-crafted spear phishing email and sent it to our chief technology officer. He detonated it. So we have most IT departments have like a safe detonation environment where they can open the link and check on it. He detonated it, and it took him to a page that looked very similar to our email login. It had our logo on it. They had scraped our logo from our website. and built a spear phishing site that was highly targeted. So those are very dangerous attacks because most phishing attacks, which are very generic, are pretty easy to detect. Spear phishing attacks are really designed to fool organizations' staff into thinking that they're on the legit site. So those you really need to be on guard for. The same sort of mitigation of training that works against regular phishing also works against spear phishing. But then there's also you also want to report those to your IT department. Partly because the targeted attacks, in some ways, it's easier to block them because they're coming from a known actor, and you can just block all of the email from that known actor for your entire organization. So that's another reason why reporting targeted attacks is important.
That sounds a little bit more like kind of a longer con, or more like they've spent more resources, like getting your logo, setting up the fake site. That's also what they use for like wire fraud attempts. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like trying to get you to transfer money, that sort of thing.
So the phishing attempts all involve links to malicious sites, links to sites that are trying to harvest your credentials. But the wire fraud emails tend to involve, they're more like a regular con, you know, like someone calling you on the phone and, you know, telling you that you've won the lottery. And in order to claim your prize, you just need to provide your bank info so they can deposit the money in your account. That's just a regular con. And those cons are now often perpetrated through emails. And people are, you know, familiar with these types of emails. I think one of the most common ones is an email gets sent to someone in the finance department from someone pretending to be the CEO saying, hey, can you go buy gift cards and send me the gift card numbers, because I need to get these out to our clients right away. Those fraud attempts can be generic in nature. So you could have a malicious actor just sending a generic email like that to a large number of organizations, or they can be more targeted. And the more targeted they are, the better they are at spoofing the person that they're trying to impersonate. And so if it's a generic attack, it may just say CEO with a Gmail address. And for people who aren't paying attention, they may fall for that and go out and buy the gift cards. But from, you know, especially in this day and age, most, you know, people have become more savvy and they aren't going to fall for that. But it's possible to send an email using the name and the email address of an executive at an organization. And now it's more credible and it's more likely that someone will fall for that. There's actually really good solution for blocking those sorts of emails, and it's called impersonation protection. And it actually does use AI. It uses some form of artificial intelligence, and it essentially scans your mailbox and, you know, very quickly in real time, and it can identify emails that pretend to be from someone else in the organization that aren't really from them. And the impersonation protection solutions are very effective at blocking those sorts of emails. So if your organization is getting a lot of these fraud emails, these fraudulent spoofing emails, impersonation protection can be a very effective solution. Those emails are also good to report because the reported email can be used to better tune the impersonation protection system. And also, generally, malicious actors, particularly ones that are targeting an organization, if they don't get what they're looking for from the first person they reach out to, they'll reach out to somebody else in the organization. So if you let your IT department know, they can kind of put everybody on alert. Hey, we're being targeted by this malicious actor who's trying to, you know, usually the goal is either to get you to buy something like a gift card and then give them the thing that you've bought, or to get you to either wire them money or to, you know, harvest your bank information.
Well, thank you, Johan, so much. Those tips were all so helpful and I think will help us really protect our inboxes. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Community IT does these free webinars and podcasts for our community, and we love sharing our knowledge and experience. If you have more questions or are having trouble with your IT at your nonprofit, please get in touch with us on our website, www.communityit.com, so we can start a conversation or schedule an assessment. Downloading any of our free resources there will get you signed up for our webinar reminders, and you can attend our next webinar in real time and ask our experts your own questions. If you love podcasts, please subscribe and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits.